right. Welcome to Useful Idiots.
Welcome to Useful Idiots.
On the day the music died. Bye. Okay, I can't fucking sing. I'll start
over. No, it's fine. Keep it in. Yeah, we should do a cover of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my
Chevy to the levee.
Pulled the lever.
The puns are flowing already. How are you feeling this morning, Katie? So this is post-Super Tuesday?
Yeah, PST.
PST.
I'm feeling, well, here's, let's take down that fourth wall a little bit. When I came in, I was like, so all is not lost, right? And Matt was like, definitely not, no. And then I was like, oh, by the way, you know, Bloomberg dropped out. And you were like, oh. Let's pretend I'm telling you right now. Matt. Is all here? Let's reenact.
Yeah, my confidence level went way down after that moment.
Okay, let's do it. Matt, is all lost?
No, fuck no.
Okay, good. Yeah. Oh, Bloomberg dropped out and endorsed Biden. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, so just really quickly to pull back on this, after New Hampshire, it looked like the Democrats were going to completely repeat the Republican scenario from 2016. They were going to leave the field fractured, which was going to allow Bernie to cruise in with a plurality with his 25 to 35% of the vote. And they pulled a total boss move, Michael Corleone settling all family business thing. And they whacked Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar at the last minute and narrowed the field down. And that made an enormous difference on Super Tuesday. And then if Bloomberg is out and Bloomberg is throwing his money to Biden, then this makes it very difficult there. The path for Bernie now becomes pretty tough. I can't believe we used that word path. I should go to pundit jail for using that word.
What's wrong with that?
It's just cliche.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, we could also look at it this way.
Yes.
If Bernie Sanders can't beat Joe Biden in a Democratic primary, he doesn't deserve to be president.
I mean,
that's the way I look at it. In boxing terms, he's fighting the guy who leads with his face. If he can't beat that guy in an election.
Maybe he has led with his face in some matches, and that explains a lot. We were just talking about how boxing, you know, messed up Muhammad Ali.
Well, that's true, yeah, and many other fighters, yes.
Right.
And Joe is literally a punch drunk guy. I mean,
yeah.
he can barely speak, but if Bernie can't beat him, then what do we do?
I get what you mean. It's like a natural selection thing, but then at what level or at what point do we acknowledge that there's these artificial, like if we want to extend the evolution metaphor or simile, like at what point is it that there are these artificial things? Like,
well, if they're cheating,
yes,
then we can't say that about him, but we don't have any evidence that they're cheating at this
point.
Well,
no, but they're like intervening, right?
Well, there's always, I mean, they're obviously, every election is interfered with on the level of money and media and all that
right.
stuff. But he's got to overcome that. Look, and he was overcoming it. And we'll talk about this later.
About later.
But so, four food groups.
Four
we're going
to
just speed through this week because we got a lot of stuff to get through.
Yeah.
So, Democrats, like, there's obviously a whole galaxy of stuff to go through here. But we're just going to pick.
Why.
We're going to pick one small thing, which is Beto O'Rourke endorsing Biden at the last minute and helping throw Texas for Biden. What a fucking fraud this guy turned out to be.
Oh,
the youth candidate. Doesn't this remind you of the Steve Buscemi from 30 Rock?
Yeah.
How do you do, fellow kids?
And he also is carrying a skateboard, which is perfect because Beto's like a skater dude.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Look at him on stage with Biden. He looks like a hostage.
Yeah.
Right? This reminds me of the
Chris. I wish he were in being kept hostage right now so he couldn't have endorsed him.
All I got to say is this to me is totally emblematic of everything that is just terrible at the Democratic Party.
He
poses as the youth candidate and then like the he comes out for the candidate who basically has no positions that are appealing to young people
right.
at all except for beating Donald Trump, which is the electability.
And he said, I have no empathy for young people today. Give me a break.
And so the younger generation now tells me how tough things are. Give me a break. No. I have no empathy for it. Give me a break.
And the other one, nothing will fundamentally change him to saying that to donors. So,
right.
Anyway,
but that's not on video, right? We just know he said that. Also, I have a message for Beto. I'm looking into the camera because I know you like to drop this word. Fuck you. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Go
that
fuck
good.
Yourself.
That's right. That's better. Much better.
Get fucked.
What the fuck?
Fucked up.
I really fucked up.
Fuck that.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah. All right. What do we have for Republican Suck?
Republican Suck, we have David Frum. Basically, calling Bernie Sanders supporters the poors. And shout out to Jordan Yull for posting this. But
Joe Biden appeals to people who pay their cable bills on the day it arrives. Bernie Sanders appeals to people who may forget to pay the cable bill entirely. And the first group, they're both equally morally worthy, but the first group are more reliable.
Okay, first of all, I love that. There's so much to love about this. First of all, Joe Biden doesn't pay his cable bills. Someone else pays him for him, I'm sure, like Jill. But if you're really going to bring up forgetting when we're talking about someone who sunsets.
Joe Biden appeals to people who may forget what state they're in.
Right, exactly. You know. Or may think that they're running for Senate, not president.
Right.
Or may call you fat.
Right.
Hey, fat.
May misremember being arrested in South Africa.
Right, yeah. But
may not remember whether or not he or Neil Kinnock wrote a speech.
Oh, right, together, yes. Yeah. But he does remember the important stuff, like black children touching his golden leg hair.
Right. Excellent memories.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Corn pop.
Corn pop. I mean, this whole thing, this is straight out of the Rick Santelli CNBC famous Tea Party rant where we're talking about the water carriers versus the water drinkers, right?
Yeah.
This is the same basic argument, which is Bernie Sanders is the candidate of parasites and
right,
Joe
yeah.
Biden is the candidate of the responsible silent. It's also a take on the silent majority,
yeah.
the forgotten Americans.
Right.
This is a thing that basically every conservative or candidate in history has done, you know, in the last 30 or 40 years.
Right.
Nixon did it. Hillary Clinton did it. And now they're going to, you know, this whole idea of the people who pay the bill, the people who quietly pay the bills versus
right.
those other irresponsible
right,
young
yeah.
pot smoking parasites. It's just, that's gross.
It's totally gross. And of course, I unwittingly kind of making the case for Sanders, right? He's saying he's like the candidate who actually cares about people who are hurting.
Right.
And Biden doesn't. Also, I'm not usually anti-immigrant, but I want to build a wall around Canada. Drop him back off,
David Frum,
because he's
from
Canadian.
He's
yeah.
Canadian.
Remember, this guy's a neocon who was really into the Iraq War.
We should just do a whole segment on which Canadians we want to keep and which ones we don't.
Yeah.
So obviously, Mike Myers, love him. William Shatner.
Oh, yeah.
Really can't think of any more.
Dan
but
Aykroyd.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd, yeah. Martin Short.
Yeah, we have to have an amnesty for comedians.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like a blanket amnesty.
Right. Isn't that weird? If we can bring this up, one of my favorite kinds of news stories is the unresolved mystery.
Right.
This is a great one. Mystery smell overwhelms Pennsylvania County again. Investigators baffled. If we could just read part of this. A mysterious stench once again struck parts of Delaware County, Pennsylvania this week, overwhelming residents with its pungent odor and baffling investigators. And then down below, we have a quote from one of the residents. It's like a sulfur, smoky. As soon as I got out of the car, I could smell it. It was overwhelming. I was afraid to smoke. I was like, where is this coming from? I literally thought the gas main is broken.
Wow.
And nobody knows where this smell is coming from. It has appeared and reappeared. So this is a, you know, in the modern age, scientists tend to figure things out very quickly.
Right.
When they don't, it's a great news story. And
yeah.
this is what's going on in Pennsylvania. There was an analogous story in India,
oh,
by the
wow.
way, a while ago. And so mysterious smells, I think, are a good 21st century news meme.
The silver lining, maybe people will stop smoking.
Because they'll be afraid of exploding?
Yeah. yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it happens sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know. I saw Zoolander.
What do you have for Isn't This Terrible?
Oh, for Isn't This Terrible, we have cruel thieves targeting charity, leaving staff utterly devastated. So this happened in Hull, England. And it's not just a charity. There was a robbery at a hospice. There's video of it, but it's pretty gross if people know what hospice is. It's a place that
you take care of people dying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apparently, fabulous staff.
You know how they say that this is where things go to, like X goes
yes.
to die? This is like literally where people go
right,
to die.
Yeah.
yeah.
So yeah, they stole a lot of computers and Dell computers. And I'm saying that because Dell, you maybe want to, you know, it would be a very good PR move for you to donate some computers to a hospice that got robbed.
Right. Oh, so that's the whole purpose of the segment, basically.
It's to shame corporations into, yeah.
yeah.
If any director out there has the guts to turn this into a movie, I would love to feel
hospice
conflicted.
Heist?
Hospice heist.
Starring Jason Statham or something like
yes.
that? Yeah, that would be excellent.
Wait, who?
You know, the bald British dude who's in the action movies.
What's his name? I thought you
Jason
were,
Statham, isn't it?
I thought you were saying Jason Stamos and you were miscalling John Stamos, star of Full House. And I was like, that's so cool that you have him as a reference. But
no,
underestimated you.
No. I'm talking
old.
About the excellent... cool
yeah.
British action star.
Yeah, got it.
All right, what do we have? We got a lot of stuff to talk about this week.
Oh, my God. Matt, you are a journalist. Tell us what happened Super Tuesday.
Well, I think the lead would be, what a difference a week makes. That's a very anchory thing to say, right?
Yeah.
So if you go back a week in time before South Carolina,
yeah.
I think if you would ask most people in journalism and in politics, they would have said the overwhelming likelihood is that Bernie is going to go into the convention with the majority of delegates. He's going to be the leading vote getter. He probably won't get it, the 1990 number, but he'll be the leading person.
Right.
And then a series of things happened in very rapid succession that completely changed the narrative. The first was South Carolina.
One second, just to pause. If he had gotten that number, you're saying he wouldn't have, but then what would have happened? Then the superdelegates, can you just explain that?
So Bernie, in order to avoid the superdelegates coming into play,
right.
he needs 1,991 delegates.
Right. So even when you thought he was doing well, the consensus was that maybe he wouldn't reach that number, and then the superdelegates would intervene, and then because of everyone except Bernie saying that they wouldn't give their superdelegates to Bernie, it would have been maybe not his election anyway, right? In theory.
Right, but there. Imagine the backlash if he was the leading.
The optics would have been too bad to do that.
Well, they would have
been too bad.
They would have done it anyway, but it would have looked a lot worse.
Okay, so he still could have been deprived the nomination, you're saying?
Absolutely.
Okay, so.
But the moral argument for him having the nomination would have been a lot stronger.
Right.
And he still had a shot at winning
right.
it. And he still does.
And he still does. Okay.
So going into South Carolina, the polls are saying that it's going to be 38-20, 38-17, something like that. And it ended up being far worse than that. It ended up being, 48. And so it was nearly a 30-point loss, which was just baffling. And, as when we saw in Virginia, we visited Virginia, looked at a Bernie rally. If you go to Bernie rallies, you would imagine it's impossible for a person who has this much enthusiasm to lose by 30 points anywhere. Mm-hmm. But he did. Now, Hillary's win in South Carolina was actually bigger proportionally last time. But that was a bad, bad loss for Bernie. And then a big part of that was probably Clyburn's endorsement, which endorsements still do matter. Then we go into Super Tuesday, and the consensus, again, is that Bernie's going to have a muted victory. He's going to win Texas and California and lose a bunch of southern states.
Yeah.
He'll probably win Massachusetts. Instead, Bernie wins a handful of states. He wins California, Utah, and Colorado. But they're all West Coast states, so the early headlines all say Biden. Biden wins Texas with the help of that fuckwit, Beto O'Rourke.
That fuckwit who needs to go fuck himself and get fucked. Yeah.
And so now, all of a sudden, the narrative is completely on its head, and we're now looking at, a lot of gloating from the MSNBC, CNN crowd.
I'm going to put some olive oil underneath Beto's skateboard.
That's just not nice.
I know. I'm not playing nice anymore.
Should we just talk about some of the things that happened that
how did he get Texas?
Trigger? Well, Beto
I'm
was a big
right
deal.
Now.
But the other thing is, look, the Democrats were being dumb up until this moment in time, and they suddenly got religion, and we've all heard rumors about some certain people behind the scenes making phone calls.
Barack.
Look, they're being smart. They're being smart.
Yeah,
if you're Sanders, you had to anticipate that at some point they might get their shit together.
Right.
And
to help nominate a guy
non-Bernie
with dementia
person.
Who is going to really not do well against Trump.
I mean, it's amazing. It's literally amazing that this is the person they've had 4 years to think about it. And this is the person they put all their chips on is a guy who's like declining in front of
right.
our eyes, who you would not trust to drive your kids
to
school.
You know why he got the youth vote? You know why I think Beto felt comfortable endorsing him? Because we saw those young people singing that Backstreet Boys song. Remember, everybody, Biden's back. All right. And he was like, they're good.
Oh my God. But boy, did he turn it around quickly. And it's just amazing.
Massachusetts, what happened there?
Massachusetts.
You have a lot to answer for, you
I
asshole.
I do.
Fucking asshole.
We've got a couple of assholes in this room, and we dropped the ball. Look, and also the exit polls were showing. I thought Bernie had that state.
What happened?
Also, by the way, Elizabeth Warren, has anybody ever lost that badly,
state?
Their home state that badly?
I don't know. You tell me. Let's just say no, never, not ever in the history of the United States. Then we'll look it up. And if it's true, we keep it in.
So Camp Crystal Lake had a lot of action instead of like the end of the movie when they start speeding up the kills.
Right, exactly. You lose track of it.
But Pete Buttigieg with the axe through the head, the knife to the throat of Amy Klobuchar, Bloomberg. It literally moments before
this recording,
he self-immolated,
which
it's a huge thing for this race, because if he had hung around in the race none of those votes were going to go to Bernie. So, you know, right. Bloomberg being out of the race only helps Biden. The money, who knows what happens with the money there? Does that go to Biden?
Michael Bloomberg, you're a self-loathing Jew. There, I said it.
You really feel strongly about all this stuff, huh?
Look, I'll say whatever. So Klobuchar gave her state to Biden.
Yes.
She endorsed Biden. So right. There went Minnesota.
Except that if she had been in the state, it's not clear that Bernie would have won that state anyway.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And Set that's down. A bad loss for Bernie. Bernie should win Minnesota.
Why didn't he win it?
I mean, why didn't he win a lot of these states? I mean, look, I have a story coming out this Uh-oh. Week that's kind of about, you know, talking to current and former people within the Sanders campaign and, you know, people who worked for him over the years. And, you know, the sort of general consensus is that Bernie has been enormously effective at creating this roadshow and generating enthusiasm up to a certain point, but that he's always kind of, that's what he's always wanted to do, is just the town meetings, the kind of nuts and bolts of political strategy and getting to that next level. He doesn't have a whole lot of interest in it. And, you know, like the analogy one person gave to me was that it was like the movie The Jerk, where the guy's born in a shack. And when he makes it big, he just buys himself a bigger shack.
Right.
You know, Bernie needs to move out of the shack, you know, and he needs to find a way to break through from that excited plurality to the next level. And this has been a strategic problem for him throughout.
Right. Bernie, this comes from a place of love. Okay.
Yeah, no, all these people who talk to me, they love Bernie. You know, they really respect him, even people who don't work for him anymore. Yeah. But they feel that there's an issue there, that he let Biden off the hook for most of last year. There were a lot of people who were trying to insist that a lot of Bernie's votes were with Biden last year, and they spent too much time on Warren and didn't attack Biden enough. It's not kind of not in Bernie's nature. He's not a confrontational person.
Right.
He's personally conflict averse.
Right.
Except
when he's taking on the billionaires.
Right. But within the Democratic Party, they've always had a tough time getting him to go after people by name within the Democratic Party.
Because he sticks to the issues.
And some of this goes back to things that, you know, the psychological things. When he first got into Congress, you know, he was an independent. He was kind of an outsider, small timer in a lot of ways. And people who treated him with, you know, even superficial respect, that was important to him.
Yeah.
And Biden is one of those people. He likes Joe.
Yeah.
Everybody says that. But Joe represents everything that Bernie's spent his whole career.
Yeah.
But
Joe's Irish, right?
I think
Biden.
So. Yeah.
So we got to leak a story with four sources saying that Bernie told Biden an Irish person couldn't be president. And then that'll hurt Biden, just like it hurt Warren when
she'll do like a reverse jinx.
Yeah. Remember that harm Warren when she said that he had said a woman couldn't be president. I mean, we had an Irish president before, but the story is, here's what happened, guys. You don't know this, but I was there. I'm one of the four. Actually, I was told it. That's what happened. Biden told me that. But Bernie said in a post-Trump world, an Irish person can't win.
Right. Yeah.
There you go.
And you told that to me at the time.
I told
so
that
I'm
to
confirming.
You. I
so
told
I'm,
that to Dan. I told that to Reed. And I told that to Elvis. So those are the four sources.
The people familiar with the matter.
Yeah, exactly. People familiar with the matter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. So and look, another area where this comes through. If you watch Bernie campaigning, watched him in 2016, very clear that he disliked Hillary Clinton intensely. He disliked Rahm Emanuel intensely.
What's to not love about Rahm Emanuel? So charming.
Right. But he has very strong feelings about the idea that these people have, I mean, I can't speak for him exactly, but it's clear from the tone that he feels a certain way about politicians like Rahm Emanuel, Hillary Clinton, this time around Mike Bloomberg. His contempt for Bloomberg was undisguised in the debates. But it doesn't come through in the same way with Biden.
With Biden, yeah. Even Obama, I feel like Obama's like in between Hillary and Biden for him.
Yeah.
Even though Obama's done really sketchy stuff, including throwing Keith Ellison under the bus when he ran for DNC chair by inserting out of nowhere Tom Perez.
Right.
And calling a bunch of people to vote for him to be DNC chair.
Of course.
And also that puts him in like the political bed with ethical people like Alan Dershowitz. So you had like a combination. I'm not saying they were in concert, but they were effectively in concert of Islamophobic right wing like Zionists and Obama people and Valerie Jarrett and Joe Biden too, making calls telling the Dems to whoever votes on that stuff to vote for
Perez
against Ellison, because Ellison's victory would have represented a Sanders victory.
Yeah.
And, you know, underlined the Obama coalition vulnerability.
And Bernie kind of, they gave him this phony position.
What
like,
was it? Like
head of outreach or something like that?
Associate. Oh, Bernie or Ellison?
Yeah, Bernie.
Oh, Bernie, yeah. And then the Ellison got deputy DNC chair.
And they kind of took it. You know what I mean?
Like,
and some of this is the pathology of the Democratic electorate, too. Like, look, all the enthusiasm for Sanders in a lot of the kind of very liberal positions or progressive positions that we saw in this election cycle, one person described to me as low-key trolling of the Obama legacy. Like, people are, the implication is we want to go in a completely different direction
right.
from what happened in 2008 to 2016, but nobody wants to personally say that overtly, because
right.
Obama personally is very
like,
popular,
yeah.
but his policies aren't.
Right, you got a high-key troll.
Right, high-key troll.
But, like, make it about, yeah, I guess he is likable, Obama. So what are we going to do? We gotta blast the internet with that photo of Obama with Richard Branson skydiving. We got to just recast Obama as that.
Right, and in a black tie, hanging around with billionaires and stuff like that. But, look, Biden is an easier target than Barack Obama is. And
although
again,
maybe now with the dementia, it'll seem like too... Like
it's like elder abuse.
Down, elder abuse, yeah. Elder abuse is also letting Biden run, by the way, and not step down. But that's another point.
No, I mean, his family, everything. But, look, this is politics. You got to... You know, people liked Bernie because he went in the high road with Hillary with the
right.
emails and everything.
Right.
But you also sometimes you got to just crush your opponent.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's really a thing with him.
Right. And you can say, I like Joe. I respect him as a person.
But he was completely wrong about these 90 things.
He did a little bit of that with the Iraq War, but not enough.
Yeah, not enough. And just to wrap up on Super Tuesday, what does Bernie do at this point? Because
you tell me.
Because I think... If he had done better on Super Tuesday, and again, I talked to some people who said the obvious next move would have been trying to pull off one of the establishment Democrats
right.
behind the scenes, like back channel
right.
to somebody like Pelosi. Because
right.
he could have made a very strong argument to Pelosi, like, look, you either come over with me
right.
or you're going to lose the House. Like,
yeah.
It's that simple, right? That's how politics works. That's
yeah.
what Trump did. Trump,
right.
when Trump had a lot of popular support, he threatened everybody with
right.
it. And eventually some people started to get in line, and that's how you win. But Bernie, he hasn't done that. But that would have been the obvious next step,
yeah.
is to go to somebody and say, you have to get on board with
right.
me. Or, you know, either you do this or you're going to be, an anachronism
right.
within the party. But now that card is gone. Like there's nobody in the party is gonna go for
maybe
that argument.
He
so he has to win.
Maybe he can endear himself to Pelosi by like walking around ripping up Trump speeches, doing some claps, throwing shade,
right.
at
doing
the same
doing
time.
A lot of meaningless
yeah,
gestures.
Yeah, meaningless gestures. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, but I have a question. What do the people? So you interviewed former and current Bernie people, staffers.
Yeah.
Do they have any concrete suggestions about what Bernie has to do?
Be more aggressive
about Biden.
About Biden. You know, realize what's happening to you. Get into like war mode.
Yeah.
You know, because that's not his thing.
Right.
I mean, the metaphor that somebody said is like, they're not going to hand this to you. You got to take it from their cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
You have to understand that. And that he doesn't really, you know, another person said Bernie by nature is a counterpuncher. Like he doesn't like to attack. He likes to wait for somebody to come at
right,
him. And
exactly.
then he says, no, that's actually not true.
Right.
He's strong at that, but that's out the window now. Like he has to, it should be easy. Like if you're a politician, you should live for this moment
right.
where it's you and Joe Biden. What could be easier than
right.
that? The guy is like is one giant target.
Yeah.
And they should be able to make a case,
but
he's got to do it immediately, you know, and he's got a good opportunity with Michigan coming up.
So if Bernie wants to win, Bernie's going to have to do those things.
Yeah. And he has to win pretty convincingly in some of these big states coming up, and he should. There are some states that are there for him to win. Also, there's been a phenomenon in this race, which is that whoever is kind of hot with the media has almost immediately gone down because media scrutiny has been bad for almost everybody who's been in
okay.
the. And Biden, this thing happened with Biden with just like 2 days of media hotness.
Right.
So there's an opportunity to reexamine his legacy. Bernie has to be aggressive during this time. And if he can make an argument that he's a better candidate for those kind of like Reagan Democrats and with minority voters, Hispanic voters especially. Yeah. And this is another thing about Bernie that people will say, it's an uncomfortable thing to say about it, but he has to be thinking about everything conceivable to win, because otherwise it's a total betrayal of everybody who's placed all their hopes and their money in him. Yeah. It would be easy enough for him to say, look, I started a movement and I got 27% of the vote and people were stoked on me and I'm the darling of progressive media and I lost and I'm going to go back to the Senate. Yeah. Fuck that. Right. You got to start taking some risks at this point.
Yeah.
People have put all you're raising $50 million a month. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
You got to get outside of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
Buddy.
And which is not something, again, it's not something that Bernie has. He has been brave in taking on corporate media and corporations. But, you know, you can make the argument that he's done it from a place that hasn't involved a whole lot of personal risk. And now he's got to go out of his comfort zone.
Any self-help books that he could look into?
Do you read self-help books?
No. I know the Four Agreements. Calling in the One
Men
is
are
about
from Mars,
fine.
Women
are from Venus.
Yeah.
How to Date Like a Man by Steve Harvey, I believe.
Steve Harvey book.
Yeah.
That will really help.
Yeah.
Are you feeling very pessimistic at this point?
No, because there's kind of... I mean, if I were someone who had any ideological orientation and like Bernie Sanders, because I want to make sure this is I leave my politics at the door.
That's you.
Check them at the door.
You 100%.
Yeah. I would say that a person who cared about Sanders, maybe it's not worth getting demoralized because what's the point? Actually, that's a very zen thing. It's like if I'm in traffic, if I'm in a ride sharing, discounted ride sharing. Oh, no, those are exploited. Forget it. If I'm ever if I'm running late, if there are train delays, that's much less like hypocritical. If there are train delays or something, I'm running late. I'm like, okay, it's Radical Acceptance. That's a good self-help book, Radical Acceptance.
Wow.
And in fact, she even talks about how she's not saying you shouldn't be passionate politically or an activist, but you have to accept the things to be effective. So I'm like, okay, this happened. I mean, a Bernie supporter could be like, okay, this happened. And moving forward, that just means we got to fight that much harder. We knew this was going to be a long, hard battle. So come at me.
Absolutely.
At them. So it's not over, right? It's not over?
No.
No, okay.
This election cycle, there's one lesson of this election cycle is that nothing is set in stone.
Right,
things have changed in a flash.
Maybe Joe Biden, politically.
Well,
he's in the Stone Age a little bit.
And also Biden's, you know, persistent good performance in polls has been an underreported story this whole year. So,
well,
for his dip during Iowa and New Hampshire.
I think the more he talks, the worse he'll do. And I think that during debates, he can't be allowed to yield his time.
Right. Yes.
Because as you've pointed out, Matt, the he talks.
Yeah. He does that whole thing.
It's just a question of he's like, and I yield my time, because he knows he's going to, if he keeps talking, he's going to either like mentally collapse or bleed out of his eye or say an offensive thing.
Right.
To counter that point, we want to be fair and balanced. Let's listen to the wise words of James Carville.
Okay.
Because he had a different response to the results from last night.
James, thank you very much for being part of our coverage. What is the message to Democrats tonight in your view?
I think we're going to see some, obviously, Bloomberg and Warren are not long for this world. And I think what we might be starting to see, and I like some of the panel may weigh on this, is we might see Democrats starting to ask Sanders to, look, let's just don't drag this thing out any more than we have to. I mean, people want to get on to the general election. They want to get on to defeating Donald Trump. And I think Sanders' showing tonight, I mean, hardly any showing with the African-Americans, who are our most loyal constituency and our most exciting new constituency, and that is these educated white women, he showed nothing. And if we're going to beat Donald Trump, we can't be lollygagging around here for a lot longer.
Lollygagging.
It seems like the party is starting to make a decision. And you're seeing these late-breaking votes.
Yeah.
He's just terrible. Yeah.
I love the way he's like, Democrats maybe, you know, as if he's just reporting on the facts and not saying, like, Democrats need to.
Right. Well, we're doing the same thing, but yeah.
Yeah, but we are not on MSNBC.
That's
and I don't, I kind of wear my objectivity on my sleeve.
Right. This whole idea that we finally found the electable candidate to go against Donald Trump. Do they have any conception of what this is going to look like?
That's Biden what I'm always Donald curious Trump? About. Disingenuous or deluded? I really don't know if they think that Joe Biden's going to do well at all with Trump, or they know he won't, but that is less threatening than a Bernie victory.
Not that it would have been, a bed of roses with Bernie versus Trump. It just would have been a very different kind of thing. Trump would have, you know, he would have thrown Ilhan Omar at, in the faces of the electorate for the entire race. Yeah. And we just have to objectively admit
that there'd
be a whole lot of issues with, you know, the word socialist.
Yeah.
There would be.
I actually think the Ilhan Omar thing would be a bigger thing than, more effective than socialist. But do you think that, I mean, he's more electable in poll after poll, right, against Trump than Biden is?
No, it's roughly, I mean, Biden, it's competitive, let's put it that way. And Biden, there is an argument that Biden is electable. The problem is just in terms of the performance on the campaign trail.
Right.
Anybody who's seen Biden campaign will know that this is exactly, in a lot of ways, like last time, Hillary Clinton was the perfect candidate for Donald Trump. Because he ran a campaign that was based on, I'm running against the system, I'm running against Washington insiders, I'm running against the swamp.
Yeah.
She was all of those things.
Yeah.
It was like straight into the buzzsaw of Donald Trump's argument. This time, Trump is in a different place. Trump is now the incumbent.
Right.
And his argument is basically the Democrats are a bunch of anachronistic, disorganized, clueless,
corrupt, hypocritical,
and confused party. And he's going to make the argument that I'm actually more put together and more competent than the opposition.
Right.
And Biden in a lot of ways is exactly perfectly the
I agree.
But he would have made a different argument against Bernie. But Bernie has an argument for Trump's voters, whereas, you know, Biden, not so much.
Also, just like temperament, I just think that I used to think that those were the only electable people against Trump, Bernie and Biden. And now I just don't think I don't think Biden is as electable. And I think the more exposure he has, the worse he'll do, and the more Trump will be able to make fun of him during debates. You know, because one of his biggest things, Trump, is calling out hypocrisy. And if you say that to people who live in this, like, Washington, D.C., bubble, they don't get it. They're like, he's a hypocrite. It's like, yeah, but he's not hypocritical about his hypocrisy. Like, he never claims to be morally consistent or have any righteousness. Whereas people like Biden and the Dems and a lot of Republicans who aren't Trump, they do. That's their shtick. So that is like a real weakness. And Bernie, love him or hate him, the guy's pretty consistent.
Yeah. And you hear this in crowds. You talk to Republicans, they'll say, I totally disagree with Bernie, but I trust him.
I respect him.
I respect him. In a lot of ways, what the stuff that's coming out of Trump from his tweets is kind of, I think it's not 100% bullshit. I think he's actually saying something that's true in terms of how Republicans feel about all this. They think that, a lot of them think that Bernie is at least sincere. They disagree with him on a lot of stuff.
But he's getting screwed.
He's getting screwed by the Democrats. They hate the Democrats.
Right.
You talk to Trump's crowds in 2016, the level of just visceral disgust for Hillary Clinton was just off the charts. And this is not there for Bernie.
Right.
And it won't be there for
Biden. It's not there for Biden, but it's but he's more adjacent to that.
Yeah, he's a symbol of the same party. They'll be able to tar him with that brush.
Right.
You know? So I don't know. It's just crazy.
Can we watch some more? Because there's a lot more.
Oh, sorry.
James, it's Claire. I'm
watching
I know that when Democratic candidates win for president, traditionally it has been two constituencies that have saved the day for the Democratic Party, the African-American vote and the women. It looks like tonight that Biden is running up the margins in terms of a gender gap. Can you speak to that? And what Bernie's weaknesses are as it relates to the women voters in the Democratic Party?
So as you know, Senator, the reason we had tremendous African-American turnout in 2018, tremendous Democratic turnout, a big Republican turnout, it was these women that made the difference. And Joe Cunningham in Charleston and Colin Howard in the north side of Dallas and the Houston and everywhere around the country. And these are a lot of these new voters to the Democratic Party, and we should be pretty excited to have them. And they're speaking pretty clearly tonight. If you look at Loudoun, look at Fairfax, Prince William, look at Alexandria City in Virginia. You saw Biden really, really, really doing well. And the African Americans and these women are really important constituents in our party, and they have to be paid attention to. And their voices and their concerns and their votes have to be accounted for. And I think that's a big, big part of what we're seeing here, Senator Castle.
I love the idea. First of all, Latinos don't count. Women under a certain age don't count. It's such opportunistic like convenient selective weaponization of identity politics. He's also trying, he's like stumbling with how to describe African-American voters in a way that's not like you're the firewall and we take you for granted.
Right.
Also, I just want to give him a shout out as a someone who really cares about women, that he also famously said about a Bill Clinton accuser, like, you never know what you're going to find when you drag a $100 bill through a trailer park. It's true. He said that. He did.
This whole thing about African-American voters, does no one remember that Joe Biden basically authored the crime bill?
Right.
I mean, it's I don't know.
He brags. There's video of him bragging about it.
He's, I know.
Yeah, that it's every like major bragging, minor crime bill has the senator, the name of the senator from Delaware on it.
Right.
He opposed busing.
Well, yeah.
Do you know why he opposed busing?
No, what was that?
Because he literally says it's a rejection of Black is beautiful. It's a he was implying that it's assimilationist.
Ah.
It's pretty another weapon. That was early. He was at the forefront of weaponizing identity politics. Yeah.
Interesting. Bravo.
Yeah, bravo. Fucking yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, and this is something that people will talk about, political strategists, people totally, and the people in the media totally overestimate how interested people are in politics.
Mm-hmm.
We all think that everybody else reads as much as we do and watches TV as much as we do. A lot of people go into the booth and they're just like, I've heard of this guy.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that guy. So the name recognition thing is very powerful with Biden. Yeah. It just is. It's a huge factor. But when we actually start to look at his, if people actually have to start looking at his record, they will look at those things, and then they're going to start realizing also, one of the reasons Obama even chose Biden is because he was worried about losing support with those quote unquote moderate white sort of Reagan Democrat voters, right? Because he thought he would be reassuring to. So I just wonder the logic of Biden as this lodestar to Black support is difficult for me to really understand.
Do you think that Carville actually thinks that Biden is more electable against Trump?
Totally.
And that it's, you think he does?
He's, I do
not
think he,
like,
does that.
It's not disingenuous. It's actually,
this is
just,
like, this is a religious tenet
with
people like this.
Yeah.
He Carville was one of the apostles of the new Democrat religion. It's belief, you know.
And right. So,
Speaking of terrible famous people, let's talk about the endorsements for Biden.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
EFB.
This is like the fucking Madame Tussauds wax museum of politics.
Of evil.
Like literally every evil. It you know what it's like? It's like the South Park Imagination Land episode where they had every evil cartoon character in history was like, you know, the cavity creeps, you know.
Ooh,
the
speaking of dentures.
Yeah. The only person who hasn't endorsed Biden yet is Kissinger.
Right? I was going to say the only kiss of death, Kissinger of death. Ooh.
Right. Yeah.
I want him to endorse him so he, like Hillary Clinton, can brag about being endorsed by a war criminal.
Let's look at some of these endorsements. We got James Comey.
I like James Comey because he makes Dems lose their minds, because first they love him, then they hate him. Now they're going to love him again.
Yeah. Voted in Democratic primary to support dedicated to restoring values in White House. I agree with Amy Klobuchar. We need a candidate who cares about all Americans and will restore decency, dignity to the office. There's a reason Trump fears at Joe Biden and roots for Bernie. Hashtag Biden 2020. Yes. James Comey, the spokesperson for Biden, actually rejected this gift later on Twitter, which was kind of funny. This guy, Andrew Bates, every reporter's talked to this guy. Yes, customer service. I just received a package that I very much did not order. How can I return it free of charge? So here's Biden, who will literally take support from anybody.
Yeah.
And they reject James Comey. That's awesome.
You know what a Bernie supporter has to do? Make sure, remind people that Amy Klobuchar is a staple thrower.
Yes.
Abuse. That is employee abuse.
Yes,
and
it
so
is.
We got to taint. Someone would have to taint her so that the Comey endorsement is, you know, tainted.
It's a double taint.
Yeah, it's a double taint. Yeah.
Let's look at John Brennan.
Matt loves John Brennan.
Yeah, who to me is like the worst person in history. John Brennan, former CIA director John Brennan, the person who has lied to Congress and got away with it and is the architect of like 19 different horrible authoritarian programs. Joe Biden is one of the most honest, decent, practical, and experienced individuals with whom I have ever worked and hope to still work again.
Right.
Probably.
Intent.
I nominated and elected. If nominated and elected, he is capable of unifying our country and restoring America's standing around the world and restoring me to a high position in the intelligence services. So that is what everybody should keep in mind.
That's the subtext.
If you get Biden in office, you're going to get motherfucker back in the CIA.
Again, linking it to Klobuchar. So make sure you remember she's a fork eating, duck killing, staple.
That's right.
Throwing.
She did kill a duck.
She killed a duck. She admitted to it.
Right?
Even tried to make a joke about
together.
It when you should not be joking about it.
Who else do we have on the? We got Bill Kristol,
the best,
fantastic, great modern Democrat.
Yeah.
If you think we deserve better than choosing this fall between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, there's really only one viable alternative this Tuesday. Joe Biden, says Bill Kristol,
another
former
war
editor of the Weekly Standard. Big cheerleader for the Iraq war, and we're so glad to have him on our side.
Right.
So fantastic.
He's not a war criminal like Kissinger in that he didn't literally oversee the bombing of Cambodia, but he
wasn't
script,
in the bomb
right?
bay.
He wasn't, right. But he helped script that.
David Frum did.
David Frum, Bill Kristol, all
Axis
these people.
Of Evil.
Right, of course, which is why all these people are... I mean, he helped script the project for New... He was part of the project for...
Yeah, for New American Century, yeah.
But I mean, they're just the cheerleaders and ideologues behind it. Kissinger, to his credit, actually implemented the policy as Nixon's Secretary of State, yeah.
Kristol was also the co-author of an idea called benevolent hegemony.
Oh,
I
like
that.
Which
is the idea that America can't... It's not enough... to just passively reap the rewards of the collapse of the Soviet Union. We have to go in and make sure that there are no regimes that are out of our control. So if they're not under our control, we have to...
Also, what is this? DefendingDemocracyTogether.org, RuleOfLawRepublicans.com, ConstitutionalGovernment.org, HostConversationsWithBillKristol.org. Never
Fantastic.
Trump. That's on his Twitter bio. We got to have him on to talk about...
Smash
we have to have
show.
Conversations... with Bill Kristol about conversationswithbillkristol.org.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Who else do we have?
Malcolm Nance.
Do you want to read this one?
Sure. Yeah. I'm not ready to let Bernie help Trump finish off destroying the Obama era in exchange for a crushing loss of House, Senate, Supreme Court, and American democracy in November. Like Clyburn SC06, it's James Clyburn, my cash is on Joe Biden. Trump fears him and got impeached to smear him. #VoteJoe, #SuperTuesday. And then he has a picture of Joe Biden clapping. He's a documented liar, Malcolm Nance. He said that Jill Stein had a show on RT, which she did not.
Yeah, Malcolm said a whole bunch of things. He was the one who was claiming that the Trump was a Russian asset dating back to the late 70s.
Right.
So, yeah, very interesting. Bloomberg, of course, dropped out and endorsed Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Who's left to endorse?
See who else is left.
Charlie Manson, hologram Jeffrey Dahmer, I guess, has it. Right?
Jeff Epstein from Beyond the Grave.
Yeah, Jeff Epstein.
Rahm Emanuel. Let's get Rahm Emanuel. Has he already?
I don't know if Rahm has. Lloyd already has. Lloyd Blank fine.
Oh, great.
So we should keep track of this.
We'll get a couple more intelligent. You should predict some more intelligent people who will intelligence.
Yeah, Michael Hayden. I don't know if he has yet. I mean, all those people are going to chime in.
Who's the guy who looks like Yoda if Yoda were not adorable?
Oh, Clapper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clapper on, Clapper off.
Yeah.
He's actually a little bit smarter than Brennan, I always thought.
Okay.
And I think he'll hedge his bets a little bit. But, you know, these people are all gunning for, they all want to be back in the White House.
Yeah.
So they will be. So, which is just awesome.
We also lost one of my favorite people, the one of the most entertaining, Michael Bloomberg. And we just want to give him like a farewell montage.
As a quick aside, this, as depressing as the Super Tuesday results were on another level, the Schadenfreude factor of Mike Bloomberg failing so spectacularly to make even the slightest dent in this race, despite spending,
Samoa.
You know, at least a hundredth of his personal fortune on this.
Right.
That was pretty satisfying. What a disaster that guy is. Like, that's how much people like you, Mike.
But he did also well. I can't remember. I was surprised in some other states he came in second. Didn't he come in second some places?
I'm not
His
sure.
His big victory was American Samoa.
It doesn't
anyway.
Matter. He did not leave a footprint in this race
no.
except to, in fact,
help Elizabeth Warren look like a badass again.
And help Biden. Frankly, if Bloomberg had not debated, this thing would probably still, he would probably
right.
have it done well,
there,
and Bernie would have a much clearer path. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of those historical unknowns.
Yeah.
So
right.
anyway, what do we got?
So we got some videos of him. This is amazing. Okay.
Tomorrow, I love ya. Tomorrow, you're always a day away.
Terrible voice, but that's beside the point. So that's Bloomberg as Daddy Warbucks, the, billionaire who adopts, I think it's Daddy Warbucks. Maybe he's just as the mayor, but he's standing there next to a very, very, very pale Annie.
It sounds like they're strangling cats in that video
yeah.
a little bit. That's not a great sound.
No, it's not a great sound.
Yeah.
Then this is a great one, too.
No barracuda, not like Bermuda in NYC.
Okay.
You got a tail?
Yeah.
Here we go. Up there we got big bed bugs.
Terrible rhythm, not just no voice.
Up
the bravest people. The cops on the beat, they care. The
it's true, firefighters teach us. We got heroes everywhere.
He's so bad. Like, the voice, he's just speaking it, but his rhythm is awful. He has absolutely no sense of rhythm. And he's wearing a, like, a suit that looks like fish scales and a tail.
Yeah.
And this, of course, is a cover of Under the Sea.
It's kind of a Fish That Ate Pittsburgh vibe, the suit. But it's real. The tail is
so
really
weird.
Bad.
And the tail is very scary.
It's almost like he's trying to sabotage the musical portion of it. I kind of admire a little bit.
Yeah, but sadly, that's not intentional. He's just very untalented. No, he just has a terrible voice. He has no rhythm whatsoever.
But he's mailing it in completely, which is in a way
a
decision.
Well, I don't know if he's mailing in completely, because remember that musical that we showed before where he's like, what's next? New Hampshire.
Oh, right.
Remember? If you think he phones it in and when he speaks, when he's doing a musical, listen to how he phones it in when he speaks Spanish.
Amabilizarse, es muy peligroso quedarse en esta área y estará volando la ley. Por favor, protejanse y tome precauciones.
I don't know if people can understand how bad of an accent that is. Like,
sounds like Klingon.
It's so bad. Yeah, he's just like not even por favor, protejanse, mantengan servicio. And yeah, his Spanish is terrible.
It's he's mailing that in too, which is kind
big
of intentional.
Time. Right? Yeah. He's contemporary for everyone, especially Spanish speakers. Yeah.
Which is kind of kind of funny.
Yeah. And then let's see this the bottom one, please. Okay, we should explain what's happening here. He's in some kind of superhero suit. And flying, he's on some kind of...
He's kicking buildings.
It's like amazing, the metaphor. Yeah, he's kicking buildings.
And with great power comes great responsibility.
Oh, he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The press has a right to know. Where are you going?
Plus, you see the, like, it's a very terrible crotch harness situation.
Yeah, the crotch harness that's a major life decision to go on stage with one of those.
Yeah.
But he seems to like flying on stage.
He does, yeah, that other video.
But, you know, I guess he'll have plenty of opportunities to do that again.
Yeah,
so,
the best was when the curtain descended on him.
Yeah.
That was a good metaphor for what just happened.
The curtain has descended on Mike, Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah.
So Mike Bloomberg is a stain in the ground. So that's done. What do we have next?
So speaking of departures, saying goodbye, like we have so many of these politicians doing, we got Chris Matthews. This was interesting.
Could we actually see the clip of him?
Let me start with my headline tonight. I'm retiring. This is the last hardball on MSNBC. And obviously, this isn't for lack of interest in politics. As you can tell, I've loved every minute of my 20 years as host of Hardball. Every morning I read the papers and I'm gung-ho to get to work. Not many people have had this privilege. I love working with my producers and the discussions we have over how to report the news. And I love having this connection with you, the good people who watch. I've learned who you are, bumping into you on the sidewalk or waiting at an airport and saying hello. You're like me. I hear it from your kids and grandchildren who say, my dad loves you, or my grandmother loves you, or my husband watched it till the end. Well, after a conversation with MSNBC, I decided tonight will be my last Hardball. So let me tell you why. The younger generations out there are ready to take the reins. We see them in politics, in the media, in fighting for their causes. They are improving the workplace. We're talking here about better standards than we grew up with. Fair standards. A lot of it has to do with how we talk to each other. Compliments on a woman's appearance that some men, including me, might have once incorrectly thought were okay, were never okay. Not then, and certainly not today. And for making such comments in the past, I'm sorry. I'm very proud of the work I've done here. Long before I went on television, I worked for years in politics, was a newspaper columnist, an author. I'm working on another book. I'll continue to write and talk about politics and cheer on my producers and crew here in Washington and New York and my MSNBC colleagues. They will continue to produce great journalism in the years ahead. And for those of you who have gotten into the habit of watching Hardball every night, I hope you're going to miss me, because I'm going to miss you. But remembering Humphrey Bogart and Casablanca, we'll always have Hardball. So let's not say goodbye, but till we meet again.
Oh, boy.
Play it again, Sam.
Casablanca is like my favorite movie. Yeah. So I.
Do you like that analogy?
No, I do
great,
not.
Right?
No, I think on behalf of that movie, I think it's a common sentiment within the within all of us here at
right.
Rolling Stone that was the people we're most offended on behalf of are the people who made Casablanca. Yeah.
And this is the response to Chris Matthews stepping down from Steve Kornacki.
Yeah, who was blindsided and kind of had to step in.
Yeah.
Mid retirement.
Yeah.
And this is
what happened. Didn't know what was happening. Yeah.
That was a lot to take in just now, I'm sure. And I'm sure you're still absorbing that. And I am too. Chris Matthews is a giant. He's a legend. It's been an honor for me to work with him, to sit in here on occasion. And I know how much.
Look at the person
you
in the background.
Him,
you believe it?
And I know how much he meant to you. And I think you're going to miss him, and I know I'm going to. We're not going to have any bells or whistles here. We do have to fill the rest of this hour. We're going to take a quick break and come back with today's news.
So what's great about that? I mean, there's a lot that's great about that.
We do have to fill the rest of this hour.
Great, yeah. I love that. I noticed he talks when he's like a flabbergasted, unprepared Steve Kornacki, through no fault of his own, talks like Brian Williams always talks.
Just with the
platitude, meaningless, trying to fill the air.
And dead time between each platitude.
Yeah.
And as a result, that whole thing.
Yeah. But he was just trying to rack his brain for good things to say about Chris Matthews without getting too tainted, I think, because we don't know what happened with the women he commented about. He probably was like hedging his bets.
Just amazing. That's one of the best things that's happened on live TV probably since 1987 when Dan Rather got upset that the U.S. Open was going to run late and they had 6 minutes of dead air on CBS. I think that actually beats this, but this was pretty good. Retiring mid-broadcast was pretty awesome. But yeah, just completely nuts to just walk off the set. To give that speech and not give anybody apparently any warning.
Do we know? It's interesting that it wasn't, by the way, when he's like, we decided about how to report on the news. And I was like, often through offensive historical analogies. Comparing Bernie Sanders to the Nazis.
Well, I don't think that's what was fatal here.
No, I know. That's not what was fatal. That's what's so interesting, because we had Jason Johnson getting benched by MSNBC for really offensive comments. And it was, as Aaron Maté points out, he pointed this out on Twitter, like, Jason Johnson got into trouble, but Chris Matthews hadn't at this point, and neither has, like, Chuck Todd for their things. But it's a reminder of how you're not allowed to be, like, offensively biased, but you can be biased and say inappropriate things if you're saying it under the guise of like historical analysis.
Right.
Or I'm just quoting someone who compares Bernie Sanders supporters to, or calls them digital brown shirts.
Right. That's just a bad opinion, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but it's the off camera behavior, I think, was the thing.
In this case, in Chris Matthews. Yeah.
Yeah.
God,
apparently they were in discussions about his retirement.
Right.
So I think he just decided to pick up his ball and go home in the middle of the broadcast, which is kind of awesome. That's a boss move. I like that, actually.
Chris Matthews move, yeah.
Fantastic.
So bye-bye, Chris Matthews. Shout out. We'll always remember you for suggesting that Bernie Sanders would execute you in Central Park.
And just really quickly, Chris Matthews is what people in the business would say is good on television. He's good at the thing.
He doesn't let people talk a lot.
He just lost the thread at the end there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would have been relatively easy to stay in bounds and keep doing what he's doing. But
it sounds like this is also based on stuff he said to women over the years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure a story's going to come out.
So we had one really great Stone moment that we got to talk about.
Oh, my God. This is so great.
One of the other Camp Crystal Lake victims we didn't talk about. He was such a minor character. He was actually killed off camera.
Yeah,
We never saw him in the movie, but Tom Steyer had an amazing moment.
Oh, my God.
Y'all go out there and vote. Y'all back that thing up and vote.
You back that vote up. Back that vote up.
Back that thing up and vote. Back that vote up. I tweeted he needed to back that ass up into a Bernie endorsement. Why doesn't he should endorse Bernie and give him money? That's what he should do. Though. Why not? What does he have to lose? He needs to be the counter Bloomberg.
But he's not. Look, he's not.
But remember how much he loved Bernie?
Yeah, but like he's like a pauper compared to Mike Bloomberg.
Oh, right. Yeah, he could still throw in every bit.
It's not serious.
I know.
Yeah.
We did see him at another event. Was it South Carolina when we first noticed his dance moves? I think he's a very good dancer. And we saw him doing the whoop, the Arsenio Hall whoop thing. And trying to talk to Bernie big time. And Bernie was kind of like, all right, Tom.
I mean, compared to the Mitt Romney who let the dogs out, that was a pretty awesome performance for...
I think just objectively speaking, it was a pretty awesome performance. He's a good dancer. He's the best dancer in the
He's a better dancer than me, so I don't feel,
Don't damn him with faint praise, as they say.
Exactly.
One other thing. Warren, why does she needs to drop out and endorse Bernie? Is that going to happen?
No.
Why?
Well, first, for a variety of reasons. I think the rationale for her staying in is she's doing a favor for the party. She does think that she has an argument still for a broker convention. And there is an argument that neither person is going to get the 1991.
Right.
So it's still she could still rally. Maybe she thinks she's going to be the VP, although that would be crazy and delusional. But as long as she stays in, probably a lot of those votes are Bernie votes. So
right. A lot of people think she's like purposely thwarting Bernie at this point.
Maybe. But again, that's where Bernie, if he were a more skillful politician,
right.
he would find a way to get her on her.
Smoke the peace pipe.
Yeah.
Offer
what really did happen last year. Remember, everybody thought that Bernie and Warren were going to go after each other last year. They didn't.
They had a non-aggression pact.
No, they didn't. It just naturally people were attacking their politics.
Right.
So they both ended up kind of defending each other a little bit on the policy front. So they are kind of natural allies in a way.
Yeah. She definitely goes after him.
Of course.
A lot. And he doesn't go after her because that's the problem.
Right. But he.
To be fair, who called
now
sexist
there's
if he
there's
does,
a,
yeah.
there's a, he, you got to make a move somehow.
Yeah.
And that is a place where you would think about getting some votes. But can he do it?
I don't know.
We'll find out. Really quickly, Useful Idiots made its inaugural campaign trail trip. We went down, myself and Reed, and we went down to Virginia. We went to a Bernie rally. We went to a Biden. Really weird, waiting for Guffman-esque Biden watch party.
Yeah, that was great.
You can check out that video. We're going to have a link to it. There's also a companion piece that's going to be on Rolling Stone too,
great.
So you can check that out. Among other things, we got some really good video. People kind of losing their minds at the Bernie thing. We asked people to kind of to sing like 90s pop tunes in Bernie voice, and surprisingly, people were just nailing this stuff. So really funny video.
Interesting range of people like sounding like him or saying things.
Yeah.
Not sounding like him, but just putting like Bernie-ish lyrics into songs. Yeah.
Can you do the lyrics of an 80s or 90s pop song in Bernie's voice?
Something happens and I'm head over heels.
Medicare for all. Girl, I must warn you. We need Medicare for all.
Rock the Casbah, rock the Casbah, burn down the establishment, man.
Ice, baby. I think the 1% doesn't deserve all the ice.
Altoids. Here we go.
Made of sugar, gum arabic, natural flavors, including oil of peppermint, and gelatin.
The billionaires have been running this country for too long, and it's time to get them out.
Well, that was a great show.
It was.
Learned so much.
Even though the sun may be setting a little bit on the Democratic primary season, Useful Idiots is expanding.
We're just
growing.
Bit.
We're
growing,
so we're going to start releasing maybe things in two pieces. And so that was the end of our show this week. We're going to release the interview separately later on. So tune in.
Awesome. Tune in. Yeah, do it.
And
thanks
for watching.
Thanks for watching us. So good to watch us and listen to us and feel us and smell us.
Okay.
That mystery smell that's coming from here.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.